You're in a different river. You're in a different place in your life. And the Christmas story does not change. It's going to be the same this year as it is next year and the year after that. Year after year, it's going to change. And I see that most obviously. I see the change in you most obviously when you send me those Christmas cards and you put that letter inside and you tell me what you've been doing for the past year. And I see change in that. You send me that picture and I look at that and I say, wow, look how the kids have grown. My goodness, they're getting so big. And there's some of you that you come to this Christmas and this is the first Christmas that you're together as a married couple. And there's some of you that you come together and this Christmas is the first Christmas with the new member of your family. You had a baby this year. And the thing is, no matter what the change is in your life, the river's not the same. You're not the same. But you come here tonight to hear a story that doesn't change. It's the same story over and over again. Life is constantly changing. And what happens to us as we change and we come back to this story that doesn't change, and that gives us hope. We have this story that as we go through life and we're changing, we always come back to this most holy night of Christmas. And we see that story just a little bit differently than we did before. We haven't changed, but the perspective on the story has changed. And when we come back to that, we see it a little bit richer, a little bit deeper, a little newer. And it means something new to this. I have to say, this year, Christmas for my mom is going to be a little bit different, because this will be her first Christmas without my dad. My dad passed away last February, so she's doing the same preparation. She's looking forward to the same family visit, but it's not the same. She's in a different river, and she's a different person. And of course, there's many of you who've lost loved ones. There's many of you who have loved ones at a distance. Some are in the armed forces. Some love in other parts of the world. You won't be together this Christmas, and that'll be a change for you. You're not the same person. You're in a different place. And of course, I see it in my own life. When I look at my own life, I look back at the Christmas cards that my family has sent in the past and the letters that we've written, and I look at those people in those pictures of kids opening presents, and I see Kim and myself, and I say, who are those people? I barely know who we are anymore. But that's us. That's what we've changed. I'm not the same person. Kim's not the same person. The boys are growing up. They're changing. You know, so when I come back to this Christmas story, I see this same old story, this story that remains the same, and I'm so grateful for it because it means something much different to me now than it did 20 years ago. And you know, we celebrate Christmas differently too. As the kids grow, we celebrate differently. We always had the tradition in my family, when I was serving at church, we would go to that early 5 o'clock service, which was the family service, and then we would go home after that, and we'd have a meal together, and then we would sit in a little circle, the four of us, and we'd pass a candle around, and we'd each say what we're thankful for that Christmas, and then we'd say what we're hoping for and praying for something in the coming year. And then the boys, they would each buy each other a gift, and they would exchange the gift there on Christmas Eve, and that was kind of the Christmas Eve tradition. And then I would go back to work. I'd go off, and I'd do the candlelight service. You know, and Kim, she'd be busy getting the kids, the boys to bed and getting that taken care of. And then after I was done with the candlelight service, I'd come home. So it'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I'd be coming in, and that's when I would wrap Kim's gifts. And to be honest with you, I've shared this story with you before. There's nothing that will cast fear into a dad more than the words on a box at 1 o'clock in the morning that say, some assembly required. So my night ended about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, right? You could see what's happening to me. So what we would do is we would tell the boys, we would say, okay, you guys, you can't get up before 7 o'clock. We just went to bed. Okay, so you can't get up before 7, and if you get up, you got to be quiet. You got to stay upstairs. You can't go downstairs. So you know inevitably what happened about 6:15. You hear the little pitty-patter of the feet, you know, and you hear the giggling and so forth. And pretty soon they can't handle it anymore. By 6:45, they're like, Mom, Dad, it's Christmas. Santa came, you know, and it'd be, oh, boy, here we go. You know, start all over again. But even that changes over time. Even that changes. Now what it is for Christmas, Kim and I lay in bed as long as we can, because what we learn is that the kids have grown to love sleep more than they love presents. Kim and I wait till about 8:15, and then we go to the bottom of the steps, and so we say, boys, it's Christmas, come down. Santa came. Nothing stays the same. We all change. We change all the time. You know, and I know that's going to change too. Someday they're going to get married and they're going to have their own families and their own Christmas, and it's not going to be at our house anymore. And you know, when I see the Christmas story that doesn't change then, it'll mean something different to me. And here's the thing about this Christmas story. These angels that we heard tonight, all these songs, they capture it so well. They tell us about this. Hear these words again. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. Good news of great joy. What can this same old Christmas story bring us again this year? Good news of great joy all over again. You know, we hear this story from the time we can breathe until the time we breathe our last breath or our last Christmas, we hear the same old story. What is this good news? Well, it comes in the answer to this question, the song we just sang. What child is this? And the answer is in this scripture that we just read. I mean, we know it's Jesus. Jesus is born. And what about this Palestinian peasant that was born to peasant parents, you know? Born this day, a Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. How does this help us find good news of great joy? Well, Messiah, Christ, those are just two words meaning the same thing, one from the Hebrew, one from the Greek, and they mean king. A king is born. A king has come into our lives. And a king is someone who's anointed, set apart to do something remarkable. But what a strange king we have. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born into great wealth. He was born into poverty. He didn't commandeer any armies like any of the Caesars had done. He ruled with a basin and a towel around his waist. He's a peasant in peasant's clothing, and he invited people to follow him, walking barefoot or in his sandals around the Middle East. But he took the time to hold children and put them on his knees. He took the time to spend dinners with sinners and tax collectors. He called his fellow leaders to himself. They were misfits and nobodies. Then we began to proclaim the kind of kingdom that he had. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't rule from a throne. His kingdom is how he rules in people's hearts. What kind of a king is this that we have? And you know, he didn't make anybody follow him, but he invited them, and people have to make the choice. But then when they did make the choice, he commanded them to do a few things. He commanded them to love God with everything within them, to love neighbor as they love themselves. He said to any of you who would be great, become servants. He said, blessed are those who grieve and those who are humble and those who are lowly, because they'll be comforted. This is the kingdom that he offers us, the kingdom in which we follow God, and then our lives will go differently. We live differently from that. You know, he says, when you see somebody who's hungry or sick or afflicted, you stop and you help them. You know, he said, that's what my kingdom looks like. And he says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And then there would come a day when this king would lay down his life for us so that we might live. What kind of king does that? What kind of king is this? You know, when I was a young man, I read that story, and at some point in my life it affected me. I said, if this is the kind of king that Jesus is, I want to follow him. I want to be his. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. If this is the kind of king it is, I pray, Lord, help me to follow you. I want to be somebody that works after you, that honors you, and does the things that you want me to do. And you know something? Even though I've changed after all these years and I live differently because of that, it's still the same prayer today. I still get up in the morning and I still say that prayer, and someday I'll be in a nursing home and I'll still be saying that prayer. Lord, while I'm here in this nursing home, can you help me to honor you and just minister today a little bit better than I did yesterday? Next week, a little bit better than I did last week. But all this time, it's the same prayer. And you know, here's the thing. If I think back, the very first president that I can remember is Richard Nixon. Some of you remember him. And if I count right, there's been 9 presidents. From the time I can remember the whole way up, there's been 9 presidents that I've experienced. But all this time, I've only had one king with one prayer and one Christmas story. And that's the story of my king, as long as I have breath. You see, Christmas is a reminder. It's a reminder of that one who was born a king to die for us. Just in case we've gotten off track, just in case during this past year we forgot what the story was about, here we come. The story is the same again. And it's an invitation to come back to the manger. It's an invitation to come back to that place where we originally heard that story and receive that invitation and make that choice again. Remember who it was that was born to be our king. So we show up at the manger tonight along with the shepherds and the wise men and the angels, and we pay him homage. May making that decision once again. So I need to remind you of this. I need to remind you, if he is not your king, if he is not the one who rules over your heart, who does? That's what Christmas is all about. It reminds us who the king is and who we are and who we're called to be. Friends, all of this is part of the gift of Christmas. It's a story that speaks to us in different ways every year because we constantly change. And you know, this year, I guess the Christmas story speaks a little bit different to me too. You know, it's my first Christmas without a father. So it got me to thinking about my father's Christmases. During his life, he experienced 89 Christmases until he passed away in February. And I thought, you know, that Christmas story probably meant something special to him as a young boy. And then I thought, well, as he grew into a teenager, he was a teenager during the time of World War II, so he probably saw that Christmas story through the lens of World War II. And then after that, the Korean War came along, and then he spent time in the service. I think his perspective of the Christmas story had been shaped by those experiences in his life, and of course the other wars that came along after that, Vietnam and the Gulf Wars and so forth. I think that my father heard one story from Christmas during a bear market, and then a different story of Christmas during the bull markets, all changing with the world, but this story always stayed the same. He heard that story one way during great tragedies and another way during great triumphs in his life and in the world. And you know, one day when he held his children in his arms, he heard the story again in a different way. And then one day he held his grandchildren in his arms and he heard the story again in a different way. The same story through so many different perspectives and in one life. But all those years, he walked through the different rivers and he was a different man each year. But the story remained the same. He could count on it. He knew it was there. He could hold on to it. He could live by it. Because his experience was Jesus was the king of his life. Jesus did rule in his heart, and he still lives by it even today. It shaped and it defined his life. And it can, and it should, shape and define your life. Because this is a story that always remains the same. That's the good news of great joy. From this ancient story that always remains the same. Would you bow in prayer with me?